And if you quit, you've got nobody to blame, nobody else to blame but yourself if you quit. You know, you can't blame conditions because you knew what the conditions were when you went in there. It's just don't quit.
Firehouse Vigilance presents The Weekly Scrap, a podcast dedicated to the never-ending fight against complacency.
Firehouse Vigilance, Weekly Scrap, number 144. My guest tonight is none other than Uncle Don himself, over 40 years dedicated to the fire service. He is Georgia Smoke Diver, number 126 to be exact. He is a Flames member, number 126 to be exact. He is an instructor. He is a mentor. He has put in the reps. Even after retiring, he is still actively involved. FDIC Logistics, instructing, mentoring, you name it, this guy has done it. I could rattle off qualifications, pieces of paper, things like that. Take my word for it. Every time someone would point and say, hey, see that guy over there? You need to have him on the scrap. You need to have him on the scrap. And when you hear that enough, it's obviously true, especially when it's from people you respect. Don Sapp, he is the epitome of being plugged into the job. Welcome, my brother, to Weekly Scrap number 144.
Man, I appreciate you having me. It's a pleasure for me to be able to do this.
Awesome, man. Is there anything, like, the intro is very condensed considering your career. Is there something I missed? Anything you would like to add specifically?
No, not really. I mean, some of the most important things are actually were the Flames and the Smoke Divers. And then, when you're a part of that, you get to mentor along the way. So that's pretty good.
100%, man. And I do love the 126 and the 126 and the fact that you picked today because it is 6/21. To be on the scrap. So that's very, very, if you're into numbers, man, that's very, very powerful.
I am.
So, okay. Kyle Romagus, he is here. He is looking for the audience's questions. If you want to throw questions at Don, get them in. Kyle Romagus is going to curate those questions and throw the best at me and Don. For everybody else out there, I've started a new thing. It's a private group called the Vigilantes. If you want, and it's basically for the supporters of the scrap. The scrap will always be out there and available to everybody. The Vigilantes is a private group, and it's for the supporters of the scrap, and it's launched, and it's a fun thing. So if you want to be a part of it, go to firehousevigilance.com and support the scrap. Other than that, let me catch you up on everybody because there's a ton of comments coming at you. Zach Steele said, my man, Don Boy, out of be a good evening. The man, the myth, the legend, says Matt McGee. The one and only Mr. Macon, that comes from Michael Sandala. Raymond Big Black Dorval. Yeah, he said 144, baby. Yeah, live from the Tramper. Chief Rhodey. Rhodey's chiming in, calling it the Tramper.
Yeah.
All right, there we go. There is a ton coming at you, brother. A ton of love. Man, I can't even catch up with it all. So, 100%. Okay. Let's get to the questions right out the gate. This is my first question for you as we get the discussion going. Four decades, still plugged in. Man, what is your secret to staying so plugged into the fire service after being plugged in at such a high level for so long?
Well, you know, when I got into it, I was pretty young. I was maybe 2 years out of college and just decided to try out. You know, the entrance exam is not like they are now. It was fairly easy. It was just an afternoon of going and doing a couple things, some exercises and things like that. And you know, word has it from my parents that I've always wanted to be a firefighter. I just didn't know it.
Right.
So college worked out a little bit for me. Came back to Macon. Started my career with the city of Macon back in 1976. And, man, I'm telling you, it's just a job. If you love it, it's not a job. And that's how it was for me. I mean, everybody has their struggles. I had my struggles in the beginning, but it really is a job that I love. And everybody that knows me knows I love my job.
Yeah. What have you seen in your time in the service? What have you seen change the most since you started? Good on the good side and on the bad side, in your opinion?
You know, when I first started, we didn't even know what a thermal imager was. You know, your thermal imager was the back of your ears, you know, the back of your neck, no hoods, I mean, I can recall a downtown fire that we had, and we went in, and if your neck got hot, you came out. And that's how it got. It got pretty hot. We backed on out, and, you know, just technologically, it is advanced by far a lot, an awful lot. Ticks are great. Some of the other things, hydraulic tools, you know, Etronics. I mean, look at that. You know, we didn't have that. We had the old hydraulic tools, you know. So a lot of, even on the EMS side and the fire side, we've both seen, I have seen a lot of change in that regard.
Love it, man. Love it. So many people still chime in. Dude, there's so many people hyped to see you on here. I'm excited, man. Very excited. And no, technology without a doubt. I remember the first time they brought a thermal imager in, and I remember because I was rubbing my finger on the wall to write dirty words with friction heat so you could see them on the thermal imager, you know, because I was just a young, dumb fireman. And they said, hey, that's hooked up to a camera, and all the chiefs are looking at it in the other room. And I still remember that to this day. But no.
And, you know, when I left Macon in 2001, and we were still just on the verge of getting ticks then. That's from 76 to 2001.
Wow.
It was not heard of. I mean, I'm not slamming Macon. It's just, it was an old, traditional fire department, and we fought fire the good old fashioned way. We did it, you know, with guts and just sweat and blood.
No, I love it, man. I love the acknowledgement of it. And Tony Nunez chiming in here, and he's echoing my own sentiments. Definitely technology is no one can argue that's a good improvement. What do you think has been the worst thing today from when you started?
Oh gosh.
Not to be negative, but I really want to know what you think, you know, with your experience and your perspective.
Oh, you know, when you love the job, you don't look at negative stuff, you know?
No.
If anything, I would say negative. I would say the new breed of firefighters coming up, they think you owe them everything. You know, they don't put their time in, but yet they want you to respect them. And you do respect them to a point, but they have to earn their time. And that has been a big obstacle for me to understand, is how this man can come in with 5 or 6 or 7 years and expect to get the respect that a man with 25 years on gets.
Right.
That's difficult for me.
No, 100%. And earned, I will say.
Yes.
100%, man. Andy Starn says, I love the shirt. You are the man, Don.
So, hey, that was given to me by a friend of mine.
Fair enough.
Yes.
Not only did he talk about thermal imagers, he's wearing Inside Fire training, and Andy Starn calls it up. 100%. Perfect answer. Christopher Snow asked, what's your driving factor that's helped get you through your hardships?
Dude, you know, I could be a preacher right now, but I'm not. You know, I'm not going to preach, but, you know, I've got to say, God has sustained me and my wife both through this an awful lot since February. And it's just been, at every turn, we're taken care of, whether it's by brothers and sisters, or, you know, God just provides a way for us to make another day, make another week, make another month. It's just, I love what I do, and I don't look at, I am retired, but I don't look at myself as being retired. You know, I still enjoy it. I still get to put in the work. I enjoy the work, and, you know, it's just one of those things where you enjoy it and it's not a job.
I love that mindset, man. I absolutely love the mindset. And Christopher So said, take us to church. Raymond said, facts, preach. Man, I love it. Okay, before I move on to the next question, I'll make sure I'm not missing anything. Kyle's got it coming. And he wants to know what... he's typing it. He's using two fingers. I love you, Kyle. What have you noticed about the change in fire behavior since the 70s?
Well, you know, when I started off in Macon, you know, we had the older shotgun style houses.
Sure.
And they were stick built. They were well built houses. And, you know, you knew you had a lot of time that you could get in and get your job done and do what you needed to do. Now, today, not so much. You know, with my house right across the yard here being rebuilt, I had it stick built back 18 years ago. And I had to act, not that I had to tell the guys, but I had to suggest I didn't want any gusset plates. I don't want anything that is going to fail with just a little bit of heat. And, you know, you see a lot of that. You see the contents of the houses that we have now are super, super, super heated up. They're, they're just carcinogenics. You know, I mean, look at the cancer. Look at the cancer that we have in the fire service now and the cancer-related injuries and things like that. And it's just, it's coming from everything that's in these houses, everything it's made from. They're just, you know, I think cheaply made homes they call it lightweight construction. I don't want to call it cheap, but right. It's lightweight right. construction. You know, and lightweight construction, in my opinion, doesn't allow me to do my job like I want to do it. You know, I can think of some fires I was pulled out of in Henry County, and we were working. We really were working and doing a good job, but we were pulled out because it was lightweight construction, and they didn't want to take a chance of something happening.
Now, in your opinion, I know hindsight 2020 is what it is, and I'm not asking you to judge their judgment, but did you need to be pulled out or?
Hey, you're asking a worker.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, you know, five more minutes. Five more minutes, Chief.
You know,
minutes, Chief. I got this.
No joke. If you'd have given me 10 more minutes, me and another buddy, we'd have done 10 minutes worth of work. We'd have done just fine.
That's a fair answer to a not fair question. I love it. Caleb Daniel Smith said, Don, what is your favorite topic to teach, whether it be at GSD, Flames, Bears, etc.? What's your favorite topic to teach?
You know, when I was at the Fire Academy, I was in charge of the live fire program, and which included pressurized container, and it included structure fire control. I enjoyed teaching structure fire control with, I say, new people, one to 5 years, new people, because they don't have any bad habits at that time.
Nice.
You know, and they're not out there taking somebody else's bad habits, you know, especially if you get a guy that's a year into the fire service, he's got no bad habits. So I want that guy. I want a group of those guys. And I like the structure fire control element of it, because I like to tell them what, you know, I like to set goals, and I like to tell them what the mission is, and have certain checkoffs that they have in the back of their mind because they don't know any different. And if you get them set in the beginning, then they can always refer back to that and say, okay, I've got A, B, C, D. Now, does it work all the time? No, but at least you've got something to go by. You know, right. This is what we did when I was at the Fire Academy, or this is what we did in training. I like live fire, structure fire control. I get to do it with some guys in Bears of the Oath. As old as I am, I still get to do it, and I still enjoy it just like I was 21.
It's awesome, man. It's awesome. Great questions. Great answers. Matt McGee has a question coming at you, and I'm going to ask you this question. Now, before I ask you this question, I'm going to qualify and tell everybody, because here's the deal. We had a lot of technical difficulties getting going, and I have no drink in front of me to continue the scrap. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask this question and throw it at Don, and I'm not going to hear the answer because I'm going to go get my drink ready for the scrap, because literally all of our time was ate up with technical issues. So I'm going to do that. I trust Don. He is going to answer the question and carry it, and then you guys ask questions to flesh it out. And I'll be back within 2 minutes, no matter what. Fair?
That's fair.
All right. I'll be right back. Here's the question coming at you from Matt McGee. What did becoming a Georgia smoke diver mean to you, and what advice would you give to someone aiming for that goal of becoming one? So there you go. All yours. I'll see you in a minute.
Okay. It's funny because when I went to the Georgia Smoke Diver program, it wasn't listed as Georgia Smoke Diver. It was listed as Advanced SCBA class. So myself and three other guys just decided that we were going to go and we were going to give it all that we had. When we got there, it was totally, totally different than what we had expected. We didn't know that you had to run. We didn't know you had to do certain things. The way that we trained completely wrong on some drills. They have a 30-second drill where you don your BA. And the way that we trained was totally different than the way that they presented it to you in the class. Just totally different than what we expected. Still just as hard. The content was still basically the same as what it is now. It's just a little bit more refined now and more time effective than when I went through. We had a lot of downtime when I went through. So there was a lot of sitting around waiting for the next drill to take place, as to where now the Georgia Smoke Diver program is more of a time element. Every minute is taken up with something. You're constantly doing something. And it is, I like to say it's new and improved. It's not compromised by any means. It's just new and improved. We are constantly adding and taking away to the program. It is a lot better, I think, in today's day and time, because it keeps up with everything that is being thrown at you on your job. So, and he's not going to come back. He's not back yet. And we'll wait on him. There he is. It's pretty good. Hey, give me the second part of Matt's question because I want to answer both of them.
No, basically, what did it mean becoming a Georgia smoke diver? And the second part was, what advice would you give to someone aiming for the goal of becoming one?
Well, I know that when I went through as well, I had, I want to say, not anxiety, but just I was new. I was new in the fire service. I didn't know a lot of things. And being inside a BA, inside a building, really freaked me out. I mean, it totally, you know, I had it, that was an adjustment. But the more I was in the class, the more I did it, I came away from that class. And that's the one thing I'd say is it helped me out the most. I had no fears after that at all. Nice. Someone that's aspiring to go now, I tell people, and I've even told Matt, take a year of your life and get ready. And, you know, I know everyone has a program that they love or they enjoy, but I'm telling you, be prepared. I mean, that's the only thing I could tell you is, and everybody prepares in a different way. It's almost like bodybuilding. When I was bodybuilding, you know, they'd ask me, well, what do you do for this? Or what do you do for that? I can't tell you how to prepare for a class. Some people do CrossFit. Some people run. We ran. We ran 10 miles a day, not knowing that you weren't gonna have to run that much. But just be ready. You know, just be ready. Do what it takes to get ready. And I'm going to offer it out there because I did it with Matt and I do it with everybody else. Don't be afraid to ask somebody, what do I need to do? How do I need to train? I can tell you what you need to do and how you need to train. I'm just not going to tell you what's in it for you to spoil your the excitement you get when you graduate the class.
Right. Just earned. Just that earned.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and everybody, like I said, everybody trains differently. You know, like I said, CrossFit. Some people do CrossFit. Some people, they just work out and run. And but it's a lot more than that. You know, and that's where asking questions. Call me, you know. And there are several other smoke divers that'll be glad to help you get ready, or at least lead you in a direction that you need to go. I can't tell you how to train. It's been so long since I've trained for anything like that, but I can give you some ideas and sort of tell you what the day's going to consist of and how to be ready. But just, you know, train at your own pace, and just, I would dedicate almost a full year to it if you were going to be serious about it, because then that, I won't say that almost guarantees you, but that prepares you a lot more than if you just prepare and take 3 months.
Right, right. No, I love it, man. Now, here's the deal. I never know who's asking these questions and what story they're alluding to, but I'm going to throw this one at you. But it's from Jack Harper.
Oh, boy.
And he said, "Don, tell them about your incident on Truck 31 coming out of the station and that bank." I don't know what the... You can say pass.
Everybody needs to know.
Okay.
I was... we were at Headquarters Fire Station, which was downtown Macon. And that was the day, I remember it was the day, it was a Thursday, because on Saturdays we cut grass on Saturdays. And what I did was, is I went in, for some reason, I went ahead and cut all the grass at the fire station. I just got a wild hair on Thursday, cut all the grass at the fire station. I weed-eated, I edged, I did everything. And I said, well, you know what? I've got time. I'll wash and wax the ladder truck as well. So I washed the ladder truck, waxed it, pulled, you know, had it in the bay. I was going to pull it around to just run it around the corner. And when I did, that's a turn that I had made 200 times.
Right.
Easy, you know, especially with traffic coming on from downtown. So I make the turn to go around the fire station to get to the back, and I didn't feel anything. So when I got back to the back of the fire station, I got out and looked. I had taken half the bank out with the officer side of the truck, the bumper up underneath it, with a big old clump of dirt up underneath the front bumper. So I go in to tell my officer, my captain. I said, "Hey, buddy," I said, "I got some bad news." He said, "What's that?" I said, I just hit that bank over there across at the YMCA. "Oh, no, come on, man, quit joking with me." I said, "No, I'm telling you the truth. I did." They went out there, and I'm telling you, it was nothing but dirt, big old clumps of dirt. It had bent the bumper clear up underneath, to where we had to call the mechanic to come and hook something to it to pull the bumper out.
Nice.
But after all that, after doing all that, after washing it, after waxing it, after cleaning, after mowing the grass, after doing everything, that's how I'm repaid, by taking half the dirt out in that mound.
Nice.
Yeah. Thank you, Jack.
Yeah. Thanks for the memory.
Uh-huh.
One more. This one comes from Chief David Rhodes, and he says, "Don, is it true you once saved a smoke diver instructor from choking on a caterpillar?"
No. You know, he tells that story. He should have told that story on when he was on there with you.
Fair enough.
I didn't do it, but I did have a friend that did do it. But actually, the caterpillar, we come to find out later, it was a uvula.
Oh, okay.
And he reached down, and he thought it was a caterpillar.
Fair enough.
Well, that's just something one-on-one you need to talk to Rhodey about.
Okay. I'll get the real story.
Yes, you know what? And what I tell you what, Corey, what will make it really, really, really enjoyable is the last time this story was told, and Dave will tell you, the last time this story was told was on my back deck, sitting right across the yard here, with that guy that we're talking about. His name's Jeff Whidbey. And he told that story on my back deck back there. And that was the last time we ever got together on that back deck.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's some history to that, too.
There is a lot of history there.
Kyle Romiga said, when teaching structure fire control, how do your methods differ from the bare bones basic fire academy tactics? Or does it differ?
You know, I don't think it really does. I mean, you've got a mission, you know, in both of them. And if you get a group, like I said, if you get a young group, like I like using, first thing we do is we find out what we have to do. We state the mission. I have them state the mission. Okay, what's our mission? What's our plan? What are we going to do? And of course, you know, we do a walkthrough of the building. Always done a walkthrough of the building, and you get them familiarized with the building. And they know where the fire is because of where we're going to start. So I don't think it's any different. I just like to keep tabs on people. I like to know what they're doing all the time. If you're going to back off or you're going to back out, you know, I like that communication. It's just fundamental stuff. You know, it's communication. It's, you know, letting people know what we're going to do, how we're going to do it when we get there, how it's going to take place, and then what we're going to do when it's over with. Because, you know, everybody talks about when we get there and we get it knocked out, what are we going to do? We don't talk about we're going to go back out the same way we came in. So, yeah, I enjoy that. I think it's no different than the fire academy. You're teaching how to put out fire. It's just there's different methods on how to do that.
I love it. Raymond Big Black Dorval wants to know, what does the oath mean to you?
Man, you know, I've got so many things in the creed here to go by. You know, we were talking about tenacity and resilience.
Yes.
And one of the words used is persistence. And in the beginning of the creed, if you'll look at it, it says, if I persist, if I continue to try, if I continue to charge forward, I will succeed.
Nice.
That's the mindset you have to have, you know? And now I'm preaching to Raymond, right? So, no, that's it in a nutshell. Man, if I persist, if I keep doing this job and I keep doing it, and that may be the why I'm like I am now. If I keep doing this job, I'm going to get it right. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it right.
I absolutely love that answer. I don't think you have a better answer. I had to write down the soundbite. Michael K. Sandala says, why does a failure keep your mindset stronger than a quitting mindset? Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah. Good.
Well, you know, if you fail, you're going to come up with 52 other reasons how you cannot fail the next time. You know, you're going to think about how can I do this differently? Because I failed the last time I did it, so I know that doesn't work. So let me try it again. And then that goes right back into if I persist, if I continue to try. Nice. You know, it plays right back into it. That covers a lot of ground in a lot of the fire service. If we would just adopt that, and you know, it's not a macho thing. It's not just a smoke diver thing. It's you know, these young recruits, I don't see why they can't learn that. You know, if I persist on this job, if I continue on this job, I will succeed on this job. You know, and that's what you have. That's the kind of heart you have to have to do the job if you love it. If you don't, there's people out there that just come for a check. And everybody knows those people, you know, and I've worked with them. And I'm sure you have yourself. And it's just, it doesn't make the job easy. You like working with those type A personalities all the time because everybody's trying to outdo everybody and trying to come up with a better idea.
No doubt about it. And so basically, if I melt it down, the difference, like failure is not the factor. It's whether you persist or whether you quit.
Right.
No, I love that, man. I absolutely love that.
And if you quit, you've got nobody to blame, nobody else to blame but yourself if you quit. You know, you can't blame conditions because you knew what the conditions were when you went in there. You know, it's just don't quit. I think I read the other day, or somebody made a made a comment. It may have even been Basil. Don't make a permanent decision on a temporary situation. You know, and that's quitting. You know, don't quit. And he said, don't quit at night. You know, nice. Don't quit overnight. You know, come back the next day, give it another shot. And then, you know, I'm not a quitter, but, you know, just don't quit. You know, don't quit overnight.
Perfect, man. I cannot even begin to say yes. Tenacity, resilience. I love it. Brotherhood and sisterhood in the fire service. If I can speak, fire service, brotherhood and sisterhood. Talk to me about what it means to you.
Wow. You know, and here lately, it's not just in the fire service. It's actually for everything that Jenny and I have been involved in. It goes beyond those boundaries of the fire service. The guys in the fire service have stepped up 1,000%. I mean, it's just a brotherhood and a sisterhood that unless you're involved in it, you don't get it. You don't understand. But it's, you know, when you've got people just calling to check on you constantly or, hey, what can I do? You know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard the question, what can I do?
Right.
And I'd have to tell them, I don't even know what I'm doing. I can't even begin to tell you what I need or what I need you to do.
Right. Hey, and Don, let me ask you, I don't want to interrupt you, but I want to say, like, for those who are listening, just kind of give what you're comfortable sharing, what you've gone through over this year. Like, I'm not asking for, I know you don't like drawing attention, but go ahead.
No, I don't mind because I want people to know because, you know, there again, I link it to the creed. A lot of the creed. Over the last year, my wife in February was diagnosed with breast cancer. So, you know, we sort of, that's a shock. You know, you're driving along, doctor calls, you pull off side of the road, and then you have that moment where I've got breast cancer. And we get past that, you know, and you do what you have to do and you move on. So we fast forward to May 18th, and here I am. I'm up in, teaching at Massey, and I get a call from Jenny saying the house is on fire, and she saw it on the Ring doorbell. So I said, all right, well, I'll be home shortly. It took me 2 hours to get home. Got here, and the inside of the house was totally destroyed. Totally destroyed. I think we saved a bed frame. We saved one of Jenny's grandfather's little mementos that he had. And we also saved the grandkids' little table and chairs they got from Santa Claus. But that's about it. That's about all we saved. So, but then you go back to the creed, and the creed says, it's not given to me to know how many steps I must make in order to reach my goal. You know, I don't know how many steps. And then you preference it with that, with Jeremiah 29:11-12, that says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans for a future. So they sort of go hand in hand, you know? So that's where the resilience comes from. That's where the tenacity comes from. That's where the faithfulness comes from, is you see it. And you see it through the brotherhood. You see it through the sisterhood. You see it through people that you don't even know that are being a brother and a sister. They don't even know. You know, they... I could give you so many examples just, and they don't know, you know, they don't know they're being that supportive, but right. I've had just a total outpouring of support and love and care that I, you know, it's not that that's what you want. You know, nobody, I don't wish this on anybody, but I can tell you this, if you've worked a career as long as I have, and as long as somebody else has, you've got those people. And they don't mind helping. And, you know, for a person, and I'm sure you're the same way, if you're a giver, it's hard to take, Corley.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to take. And sometimes you have to be taught that lesson. It's okay to take it. It's okay to say, okay, I'll take it. You know, that I'm telling you, buddy, that hurts. That hurts. But to know that you got to take something from them and they actually got to help you makes their day as much as your day. So I'm done preaching.
No, dude, it was strong, man. I did not mind one bit. And I don't remember who told me a long time ago, but it was in a moment of need for me, and someone was trying to help out, and I just like too proud to take the help. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And they said, hey, don't rob me of my blessing.
Exactly. You know? My mother-in-law told me that.
Right.
She did something for me one day, me and Jenny, and she said, so you're not going to take my blessing? I'm like, oh, man, why you do this to me?
Why are you running me through that? Yeah.
That's right. You know, exactly. Yeah.
No, it's strong. It is very strong. I love that message. You can preach as long as you want.
Go ahead.
No. So, like I touched on it earlier. Like, I was at Bearers of the Oath. I think it was number four, might have been number three, but they were like, so many people would point over and say, hey, that guy right there. The guy with his hat on backwards. That guy right there. That's it. Yeah. You need to have that guy on. I'm like, who is he? He's like, he's Don Sapp, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. And I talked to you and we talked about it and we met and became friends. And they were like, that guy's the real deal. But I guess what I'm trying to ask is, because I know your answer already just from knowing you, but how can you express how important your legacy is, you know, looking backwards when people around you, your peers and people you mentor speak of you in that way? How can you express that to people, how important that is?
Man, let me tell you, and I could call Jenny in here right now. She'll tell you, I struggle with seeing it that way. I struggle big time with it, seeing that way, because to this day, I hadn't figured it out, because it's, I don't mean anything bad by this, but it's what I'm supposed to do. It's what we're supposed to do as firemen, as instructors, as the people that are teaching other people. It's what we're supposed to do. And I don't look at myself as anything any different than anybody else. It's just, they see it different. And I asked Jenny, why? And she said, because of the way you are. And I said, well, you know, I'm just who I am. Matter of fact, I think Kevin Pfluger even said, hey, man, just be you, you know, because I told him, I said, I'm nervous about doing this. And he said, hey, just be you. You know, he said, you'll be you and you'll be fine.
You're crushing it, brother. So you being you is doing amazing things. And speaking of Kevin Pfluger, he's the next question. You ready for one from him?
I'll try.
He says, Don, you lead by example by taking strangers under your wing and doing it with the best of them. What pushes you to make that such an important characteristic of yours?
Man, you know, both Jenny and myself, we don't meet strangers. We never have. And I take pride in that, because I don't get to meet Corley Moore if I don't say, hey, man, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't get to meet Kevin Pfluger in Dalton if I don't say, hey, man, what's up? Where are you guys from? It's not hard, you know. It's that, and then it's an open line of communication at that point. Now, on the flip side of that, they don't have to answer, you know. They can say, you know, go away, you right. know.
Yeah, who are you? But, who are you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I'm nobody. In the scheme of things, I'm nobody. But I just am a guy who likes to, I love my job. I keep saying it. I'm just a guy who loves his job. And if you love your job, you're going to be better at it. You're going to want to talk to those people. I want to find out from people in Texas how they do things. You know, we're going to go in, we're going in March. We're going to go Bears of the Oath in March. I'm looking forward to that, because I want to see how things are done there. I've never been to Texas.
We got to get you to Texas then.
Oh yeah. I'm excited to go, because I want to see how they do things. I want to see, you know, maybe there's something this old man can learn.
Right on. Are you going to be at Dadgum?
The what?
The Dadgum Fire Conference?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. All right. Awesome. All right. Two questions, but they're the same question. Come from two different people. Nick, I want to say his name right. Nick Pluscotta and Devin Craig. So both of them want to know. Basically, I don't know which version I'm reading, but basically, how do you keep that drive going? after 40 years of the fire service?
Wow. You know, I don't really know. I just know that it goes back to, I want to learn something different. I want to be involved. I want to learn how to do certain things. You know, it's just like tying a bowling. You know, there's like 28 different ways to tie a bowling, but each one of them work. And I want to learn how people in Texas and Louisiana and Atlanta, I want to learn how they do things, how they advance on a fire, how they do certain things, how they, you know, get from point A to point B. I'm just wanting to learn. You know, Raymond was saying that he's in Philly right now doing a class, and somebody was commenting today, hey, never stop learning, never right stop. On. And I don't ever want to stop learning. You know, there's something I can learn, because if I can learn it as old as I am, I can teach it to somebody younger than me.
Right on.
You know? But that drive is just, it's internal for me. I mean, it's not an ego thing. It's nothing like that. It's just, I want to learn something different, you know? And if I can learn something different, yes, I'm in.
So let me dig here for a minute, because you told the story earlier, but you're supposed to mow the yard on Saturday, but you said, you know what, I'm going to mow and weed eat on Thursday, because I don't know, because you're a driven guy, or you were just bored. And then you're like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to wax the truck. I don't know what day you're supposed to, or what day, or if you were, you know, but you did it on your own. Have you always been just a driven guy since the beginning, or was there a period where you weren't? Like,
no, I used to be a slug.
Okay.
I was a slug at one time, and, you know, not a full out slug. I got to the right to the edge to the of being a slug, and I caught myself, you know, and it was just one of those days where I was having a bad day, and say, you know, it's easy for me to just sit there and do nothing. And I said, no, I'm not going to be like that, you know. So, and when I worked in Macon, we worked 24-hour shifts, so we were 24 on, 24 off, with a long day, what they call a long day, once a week. And depending on which ones you were, you know, mine were Tuesdays and Saturdays. So every Tuesday and Saturday I had off. But it's just one of those things where you're driven. Like you said, I'm driven. You know, I was on the edge of being a slug, and just something clicked. I don't know what it was. I started wanting to train, you know. Now, that didn't mean that everybody wanted to train.
Right.
Not everybody. And you know, I think of a story that I used to work with a guy. I don't want to mention his name, but we used to call him Eeyore.
Okay. We all have an Eeyore.
Everybody hates me. Nobody loves me. But we were good together when we were on the ladder truck. We all worked together. We had a great time. We had a good crew. And he tells the story. I don't remember it, but he told me, he said, man, we had a two-story, apartment, house on fire right down the street from the fire station. And I said, come on, man, let's go get the ladder truck, or let's go get the ladder and run back and ladder that window. So we walked down there and got it. Well, we ran back. He said, I didn't think you literally meant let's run back. And so, but we ran back. We ran up there and got in the window and did the job. So, you have those Eeyores and those people that, you know, you've got to, he's not going to hurt me. He's not going to affect the way that I do my job. You know, maybe I'll rub off on him. He's not going to rub off on me.
No. And, you know, firehouse vigilance is the never ending fight against complacency. And that's because complacency is a sneaky, sneaky bitch that
yeah.
will absolutely, you don't even realize how far into it you are until it's like, how did I get here? You know what I'm saying? Because
or
you have
to put enough of a friend to say, man, what happened to you?
Right, right.
Yeah, what happened? And that's a friend. That's a true brother right there. Because he'll say, I remember when you used to do blah blah blah.
Right.
And now you're just sitting on, as Rhodey says, now you're sitting in the day room eating biscuits.
Eating
biscuits. You know, so, yeah, I mean, it was a personal drive for me. I didn't want to be that guy. I was that guy in many different ways, but I didn't want to be that guy.
Right. And it's the recognition and the fight. It's the fight. You have to fight.
Yes.
Zach Steele, he said, talk about your faith and the fire service and the importance of faith in a fire service career.
Wow. You know, wow. How do I go about this? When you belong to God, people know you belong to God. They know it. There's just something about it. They know it. And you don't, I'm not a Bible thumping, beat you over the head with a Bible type person, but I want my example and what I do to be an example for the younger guys or even for the older guys. You know, I don't have to tell you I'm a Christian if you're doing it right. I mean, if they see you doing it right, it's very important, especially with the job that we have. You know, because 1 minute you could be there and the next minute we run that call, like I said, with that guy with the ladder, and we not come home. Yeah. So, I had a friend of mine that we had a storm come through in Macon one time, and this comes down to faith right here. We were on another call. The engine was on another call. We had a rescue that actually went on a call, and we had a tree that had fallen on one of our captains, and it crushed him, and it killed him. And so the rescue was with us. I told them, I said, you go, you handle that over there. We'll handle this. Mm. But they had just a big storm came through. And what was so ironic about this captain's demise was that this was his last day, his last shift. Mm. He'd gone and got a college degree, had recently just gotten married, had a business he was setting up. He was ready to go. It was all planned out. And I had the guy that I sent with the rescue come back, and he said, Don, he just shook his head. He said, it just pays to be ready. Mm. It just pays to be ready. And that's always has stuck with me, you know, and I'll tell people, dude, it just pays to be ready. I'm not going to preach to you, but it just pays to be ready. We're in a bad job. And are you ready? You know, just make them think a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. Faith is important to me. It didn't used to be. Man, I used to be a hoe bag. You know, I was a heathen at one time. But it's just funny how God just changes everything about you, and people know. They say, man, what happened to him? You know, which I don't mind. I'm good with that. You know, I just am glad it's not the other way. I used to be a Christian, and now I'm a heathen. You know, that's not good.
Right. No, I love that, man. Dude. 100%, man. Okay, let me get back to the questions I had. Audience, if you have anything else, man, you got Don here to yourself. Basically, I want to... this was kind of my own personal question. I'm trying to... Because you had your own, like, your own home burned down. You know, after doing this job for... After doing this job for 40 years, after still being plugged in, after retiring, after doing this job for 40 years, like, just in the last few months, you had your own home burned down, and I just kind of wanted to pick your brain and say, how has that, I didn't even know if we'd have to cancel the scrap, because, you know, your house burned down between me saying, hey, will you come on, and then you had your house burned down. And but all that being said, how has that changed your perspective towards the fire service, towards what we do, because you have a unique perspective now?
I do, and you know, I've actually talked with that about that with certain people. You know, being in the fire service as long as we've been in the fire service, and myself, I've seen it full cycle to the time that we get the call, we respond to the call, we go put the fire out, we do whatever it is we have to do. And I was on the ladder truck the majority of my career in Macon. They seemed like they put all the workers on the ladder trucks, and all the engine guys got the easy jobs. You know, so, but they put all the workers on the ladder truck. Well, you know, our job, we had a chief, we used to call him Chief Newwood. And I had worked with him for so long, he would come in and say, Don, you know what I want? Yes, sir. And we would take that, whatever room it was, and take it down to new wood. And, you know, having this fire here now, you know, from the time I get the call, I've done the call, I've actually pulled all the, you know, down to new wood. I've done that part, and we're high-fiving ourselves. Hey, man, we did a great job. We did an awesome job. But then it kicks in. Now I'm the homeowner, and I'm the guy left at the house with the new wood showing now. You know, I'm that guy. I'm not a fireman. I'm a fireman slash homeowner. Right. And I see and I understand now what people went through when we left. You know, how the struggles are real. And on so many different levels. I mean, from good struggles and bad struggles. But, you know, it's just, you see it. I have seen it full circle. You know, from the time we answered the call till the time that they're pulling out of my driveway and saying, hey, man, we'll see you in a little while. We'll check on you. And now I'm the homeowner with a burnout house.
Right.
It changes your perspective on, man, I wish I'd done my job a little bit differently when I was in Macon. Because our crews, our ladder crews were actually, those were the worker bees. You know, they did the work. And I'm not saying the engine crew didn't. I mean, they always helped, and they were good. I mean, we just all did it as a team. But you get in there, and how I wish, you know, I'd known then what I know now. You handle things a little bit differently. You know, you handle property a little bit different. Mm-hmm. You handle the grab ass, and, you know, with a person standing in that kitchen, looking at their burnout kitchen, wondering how can they play like that and laugh and giggle, and my house is burnt out. How I wish I'd have had that perspective back then that I do now. It was tough, you know.
No, it's powerful. That again, like I said, you have a unique look at it that most of us will never see. Hopefully, knock on wood.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Wish this on anybody.
Right.
But it is so overwhelming on so many different levels. It's like, on the good things are overwhelming. You know, the generosity, the love, the care, and the whatever they want to do for you. You know, that's overwhelming. But then on the flip side of that is, it's overwhelming with, man, I got nothing. I got three pieces of furniture, maybe. No, you know, no. That's and some clothes. I mean, we had to save that smoke diver stuff. You know that. You know, I told the guy that came in to clean our house. He said, you know, all these shirts right here and all this stink, and they're dirty and they're not. I said, dude, I've gotten them more dirty teaching class than you can get them dirty in that fire right there.
Right on.
So. Anyway, he said, so you want to keep them? I said, absolutely, we want to keep them. Yes.
No, I feel like, and one of my majors actually came up to me, a company officer in our organization came up to me. I don't remember. It was probably a year ago. And he was like, man, it just feels like we don't do salvage the way we don't focus on salvage the way we used to. He goes, I really want to focus back on that. And he did. And his crew is focused on it. And it's been an amazing thing. But and you can see it. When you catch a fire and you protect that painting that's on the wall, or that photograph, or insert whatever memorabilia, that you take that extra step that if you hadn't done it intentionally, you would not have done it.
That's
but
right.
How much it matters to the person when you say, hey, we covered this up before we hooked all this down. You know what I'm saying?
And yeah.
It's just that extra, that little bit of extra that makes such a difference.
Well, you know, and that's crazy because, well, we used to have the old tarps, the old green tarps, the real heavy military type tarps.
Sure, yeah, like almost canvas.
Yeah, it's not the blue ones that we have now. So our job on the ladder truck was to cover what goods we could cover, you know, under the fire room or wherever, you know, so there's no water damage or any more damage that would take place. So, and, you know, we did it. But we only did it out of repetition. We only did it because, hey, don't you think we need to cover this? How I wish I'd have known then what I know now, why we cover it.
Right.
You know, it would have been, not that it wasn't important then, but it had been much more important, like you just said, you know, that little piece of memorabilia, that little knick-knack picture of whoever, here, I saved this for you, you know, that's a big deal for people.
Dude, monstrous. Like, if you, like, don't get me wrong, saving a life, nothing's going to ever touch that. That's our purpose and everything like that. But when that's off the table, the next best thing you can do is save something that people cannot replace, man.
That's like, true. And, you know, we had a battalion chief that towards the end of my career in Macon, he actually got proactive a little bit and with the ladder trucks. And we had runners cut for whatever calls we made. It didn't have to be a working fire. It could have been just a call that we were going to go in and check on a dryer or a dryer vendor, but we were to put down these runners and we were to treat the people in the shotgun shacks just as important as the people that own the million-dollar homes.
The McMansions, right?
Yes. And he told me, he said, that's what we're going to do. There was no question. This is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it.
Dude, I love it. And Michael Sandala said, our favorite day at work is somebody's worst nightmare. Don-126. So, I love that, man.
Yeah.
All right. I love to find out, and I mean, brother, I could sit here and talk to you for hours, and I would, but I like to kick it and say, book or books, and I'm excited about this one because you told me what it was, but book or books that you think firefighters should be reading.
Well, I have bought this book a lot and gave it out, and now you can get it for like $5.50. I saw on Thrift Book the other day, nice. But it's The Energy Bus, and it's by John Gordon, and I have it written down. It just talks about the 10 team building and people that you want to be around to build a perfect team, to build I don't want to give. It's a real short read. It's not very long, but it's called The Energy Bus, and it talks about a guy that actually didn't. He didn't have a car to drive to work, so he rode the bus. And the lady on the bus actually had 10 rules, and they went through all 10 rules in 2 weeks, and it just completely changed his perspective on how to treat people and me as well. When I read it. And then I listened to it, and then I read it again. And it was powerful for me because I'm a people person, you know, and I like to try. And I'm going to give him kudos because he deserves it. One of the best team building people I think I have ever had the pleasure of associating with is David Rhodes. He knows how to build a team. He can build a team from, you know, to do anything. And, logistics being one of them at FDIC. You know, it's very rare that we have anybody that complains on us because we have such a good team. But, you know, you want to work with people, with like-minded people. And when you work with like-minded people, you don't have any slugs in the crowd, you know, and everybody's doing the same thing and they enjoy doing it. So it's like, I see your this and I'm going to up you this. You know, well, guess who benefits from that? The customer. You know?
No, 100%, man. And I love it. And the best, I don't, like, I talk to a lot of people and a lot of people who are avid readers, and I don't think there is a better endorsement for a book than I buy this book and I pass it out.
Yeah.
Like, that is the greatest endorsement you can give for a book. So, 1,000, I'm excited. My bad for not knowing who suggested the Energy Bus before, but just recently someone else suggested it, and so.
Well, it talks about. I've got it right here.
Might have been Raymond, but.
Some of my notes. It's the Energy Bus, of course, but John. But it's the 10 rules to fuel your life, your work, and team with positive energy.
Love
you know,
it.
And actually, in this book, he gets rid of some of the people that are negative on the team. You know, which is pretty cool. And do we have that at the fire station and in the fire service? Absolutely, we do. You know, it's just up to the 1% to get rid of them, you know?
Love it, man. And I think it was Raymond who said the Energy Bus before.
Well, I have something to talk to him about when he comes to Smoke Divers Inn.
There it is. There is he coming?
He tells me he is.
All right.
The line's open.
It was big, but okay, Shane. Okay, thank you, Shane. I apologize when I get people's books or names wrong, but there's a lot of books and a lot of names, so you have to.
You
have to roll with me. 100%. Okay, so Don, we have a thing we do on the weekly scrap. It is called the 5 Questions for Firefighters. After like 100 times of asking the same questions, we switched it up, and so now it is the next 5 Questions for Firefighters. The points are completely arbitrary, although apparently everybody gets max points. But completely arbitrary, they're assigned by me. The answers are 100% your opinion. So what I want to know is, are you ready for the next 5 questions for firefighters?
You know what? I'll give it my best shot.
Fair. That's all I can ask. All I can ask. Here we go. Number one, what single characteristic, and I'm going to write down what I think is your answer. I'm going to write it down. I could be wrong. Okay, but I'm writing it down. What single characteristic makes the difference between a run-of-the-mill firefighter and the top-tier, go-to, badass firefighter?
It's a 1/2-word answer.
Okay.
Passion/desire.
Nice.
You know, because if you have passion, you're going to have desire, and you can be taught. You know, you can teach anybody with desire and with passion. You can teach them, and they want to learn because they've got that desire to learn. You don't have to pound it into their head. You don't have to make them. Okay, we'll make you do this. You know, so it's passion for me because, you know, I can't tell you how many people I've had tell me he's so passionate. Well, it's because I love the job, and if you can tell the ones that love the job and the one that love the check, you know,
right.
So. I get it.
All right, I got to show what I wrote down because I would love for it to be passion. I really would. I thought this is what you were going to say right here. Let me see if it'll persistence.
Dude, I got my glasses on. I can't see. What is it?
No, it's all good. It says persistence.
Persistence. Okay, it began with a P.
No, it did. I was close. But that's what I really thought. I wanted to share because I wrote it down. I really thought I had it. But no, brother, passion and desire. If you give me someone with passion and desire, we can teach you everything else, man. 1,000%.
Exactly.
Yo, I love it. So, max points for you, even though I didn't guess it. I tried. Number two. If you could go back in time, and this was actually a question that was asked earlier. I don't remember who asked it, but I saved it because it's one of the five, the next five. If you could go back in time and give yourself one piece of advice as a rookie, what would it be?
Listen more. I didn't listen. I was that guy. You know, I thought I knew it all. And it took just several instances to just make me realize you're not all that, you know, and you don't know all that. So I would say just to listen more and listen in a way that you're receiving it, not just to listen. I mean, you can hear what somebody says, but are you listening? You know, I want to listen more. I want to be able to get out of what you're telling me. I want to pull it all out.
Dude, communication, like listening is
effective communication.
Man, the key to it is listening, man. And listen, man. I love that, brother. Dude, I can't even begin to tell you how much I love that. Number three, I think we asked this earlier almost, what is your favorite training drill?
Well, you know, I like the live fire. You know, I like to teach live fire, and I like to get young young guys involved in it. But when it comes to teaching like at Flames and Smoke Divers, I like the nuts and bolts drill that we have. You know, because if in this environment that we put you in, if you can find a nut and a bolt, you ought not have any trouble searching a house for my wife, my kid, my grandchildren, my dad. You ought not have any trouble. There's no excuse.
Right on. Dude, perfect answer, man. Love it. Max points. Number four, what mistake have you learned the most from in your fire service career?
You know, I'd have to say, and you have to investigate everything, but things aren't always as they appear. they're more times than not, they're not as they appear. So I had an instance where it hit me square, and I had to go back with saying that it wasn't what it appeared like. I had to go back and apologize, because this guy actually went from being my captain to being my battalion chief. And you know, I knew I had to do, I accused him of something that I didn't have all the information. So it hit personal and it hit home with me. But just have all your ducks in a row and know what you're talking about.
Love it, man. Hell of an answer. My gosh, did you hear that? No, there's 100% people saying, yes, max points, max points. I love it, man. All right, final question. It is not a new question. It is a great question, though. Heavy fire and searchable space. Would you rather be assigned to the nozzle or first in on VES?
You know, I'm going to tie this back into the nuts and bolts drill. If I teach you how to do the nuts and bolts drill and you can find those, you can search without a hose line. You know, you can get in there and look, you can find anything in there. I would have to just say that I want to search. I'll get somebody to put the fire out. I want to go work. You know, I don't mind working. And that's where the nuts and bolts drill comes back in. I'll teach you how to do that. And you ought to be able to find this 200-pound man if you can find a little 3-ounce nut.
I will give you max points just off the point of you saying, I don't mind working. 100%, man. That's that quote right there captures it without a doubt. Man, yeah. Smoothbore said, something tells me he is a VES guy, 100%. And yeah, there it is. That officially, with that crushing of the next 5 questions for firefighters, makes it 144 scraps in the books. Don Sapp, my man, if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do it?
You can email me, donboy126gt@gmail.com, or Facebook. And actually right now, you can actually GoFundMe if you wanted to. Yeah, I'm on GoFundMe. Imagine that. But Donboy or Facebook is better. Or I tell you, if you want my phone number, I'll give you my phone number. Just if somebody contacts you or they contact me on Facebook, I don't mind handing my phone number out, because when I was at the Fire Academy, I had business cards printed up. Actually, when I was in Henry County as well, I had business cards printed up with my personal cell phone number on it. I don't mind. You know, that's the difference. I don't mind. So right, call me. Call me, and I'll be glad to help you any way I can.
I love it, man. Brother, I have absolutely loved it. Okay, my housekeeping now. Firehousevigilance.com. Go there. Shirts, coins, stickers, the book, hats. Man, I'm so close to my second book being out. The 9 L's of Leadership is coming out as a book. It's my class that I go around and teach. Chief Scott Thompson is writing the foreword for it as we speak. It's about to come out, so I'm excited about that, but it's not out yet. But to everyone supporting the scrap, again, this is a big deal for me. I never want to... The scrap is always going to be out there and available and done as weekly as I can make it happen. Now, certain things are going to mess with that, i.e. my daughter's wedding coming up. I probably won't have a scrap that week. I think everybody understands that. But every week, there's going to be a scrap coming out. And that's never going to stop as far as I'm concerned. But there's a thing out there called the vigilantes, and that is the people that support the scrap. And that is a private group where we sit around and talk about things, books we're reading, ideas we're having, classes we want to teach, how the scrap should get better, the guests that should be on the scrap, the questions we should ask on the scrap. If you want to be a part of that, that is separate from just the weekly scrap, which is just something you can enjoy and watch. But that is the vigilantes, and that is coming up. That is firehousevigilance.com. Support the scrap, and you get invited to that. That is all of that housekeeping. Fast forwarding, who is coming up on the scrap? Okay, coming up on the scrap, we have Firefighter Fenton. Man, I'm really excited about this, because this is, like, I'll give you a little preview. This is right on. It's coming. This one's not as red as it needs to be yet, but Amazon sold out on red mustaches, so we're going to work on it. But Firefighter Fenton's coming up. And then Robbie Owens, the Average Jake, followed by Kevin Pfluger, followed by Todd Shepard. So you talk about a star-studded lineup in the next 2 weeks, man. Don, you set the bar pretty high for those guys to follow.
Man, I don't know. That's some pretty heavy hitters right there now. Those are good guys.
You definitely set the bar, man. Thank you for being such a phenomenal guest.
Well, thank you for having me. I was shaking my flip-flops a little bit, but it sort of worked into it.
You got so much to offer the fire service that 100%, man. You knocked it out of the park. To my audience, thank you for making it such a fun, and you guys are the ones that make it amazing. Sending the questions at us and allowing us to interact with you and giving us your evening, I can never say enough thanks. Don, I know, will never say enough thanks. And so for that, I say thank you. I hope the tone stays silent unless it's burning. Everybody, stay safe out there.
Thanks for listening to the Weekly Scrap. Please subscribe and please share. We'll see you at the next episode.